Let us then turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, continuing where we left off last Lord's Day, as we continue to look at man's struggle with sin. Romans chapter 7, beginning reading at verse 13 and reading through the end of the chapter. So let us hear together the Word of Almighty God. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold over under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we live within this world as Christians, we will always have to struggle against sin each and every moment of our lives. And that's what we're talking about as we look at this passage this morning. That Paul, as he writes this epistle to the Romans, bears his soul before them. He says, I want to do good, but I see this law working within my members, the law of sin. And he says, if I will and desire to do that which is right, and yet I fail and I fall and I fail again, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And brothers and sisters, this is the struggle that every true Christian is going to have. This is a war within us. And one of the great blessings, by the way, when a brother or sister goes to be with the Lord, one of the great blessings of that fact is they will no longer have to struggle this way. They are freed from that battle. The battle is won for them. And so that is one of the aspects in which Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. But we as Christians are called to the struggle, to the fight. And that's what this passage is about. There is a war. And we are going to continue, the saved continue to struggle against sin all their life long. Yet deliverance is in Christ. And we have victory. The Catechism is quite right when it says that those, even the best Christians, have only a small beginning, but they have a beginning. We're not as bad by God's grace as we live and as we continue to walk as Christians as we were the day we first believed. And that will continue throughout our lives. Praise the Lord. We do not say, look what a good boy am I. We say, look what God has wrought in this miserable sinner. That I, who would desire the evil, have been caused to desire and to live that which is glorifying to our great God and King. And so the saved, the regenerate, continue to struggle against sin all their life long, yet deliverance is in Christ. In verses 13 through 16, We see that we are agreeing with God's good law against ourselves, that we join God in condemnation of ourselves. In verses 17 through 20, I do not the good I desire to do. We're going to struggle. And we're going to fail. And brothers and sisters, when we fail, that does not mean we have failed to be Christians. Think even of David, who committed murder and adultery. He was in a pretty bad way there. But as a Christian, as a true believer, when Nathan the prophet came to him and said, "You're the man," Nathan said, "I deserve death. I am the man." Well, brothers and sisters, God's word to us, God's law to us, as we considered last Lord's Day, says, "You're the man." Not in the way our culture says it now, but I am the man in sin, deserving of God's justice, of God's judgment. And I struggle, and we struggle as Christians, and we fight, and we have some victories. And some days it feels like we take one step forward and two backward. But brothers and sisters, the victory has been won in Jesus Christ. And that is the wondrous glory. I do not the good I desire to do. And we are then, in verse 21 through 25, told that we are delivered from captivity to sin in Christ. And so, first of all, we agree with God's good law against ourselves. Sin produces death through the law. If we use God's law lawfully, 1 Timothy 1:8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. If we use it lawfully, that is, as Paul states in the next verse, verse 14, that we are to use it in a Christian law because the law is spiritual. Many people use the law as an external bludgeon. But the law is about spiritual things. And we, when we sin, bludgeon ourselves and say, "Look how terrible I am." And we have to realize that. But then we must be driven to our knees at the cross. The wonders of God's mercy to sinners. Yes, I fail. But God is merciful. God is gracious. Confessing our sins to Christ. Confessing our sins to God. And there is going to be spiritual warfare. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The law is a spiritual law for the blessing of God's people. It was given, if we remember back to Exodus chapter 20, "I am the Lord your God who have brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the God who has saved you." It's not the law to save ourselves, it's to show ourselves thankful to God. Knowing that we're still struggling against the vestiges of sinfulness, that we are carnal, sold under sin, doesn't mean that Paul's saying, "I'm an unbeliever." He's saying that we're going to struggle, and this is not going to be an easy fight against sin. Get down in the trenches. You know, nowadays we don't even, unless we play video games, and even those aren't really. We think about the trenches of World War I, those sorts of things. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the war that we're fighting against sin. This is going to be inch by inch by inch. This is not going to be, "Look, hey, I got it all figured out." We're going to struggle. We're going to fight. We're going to fail. And yet, the grace of God is that which sustains us. The forgiveness of God. As we go back a couple of chapters, Romans 6:16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" If we present ourselves as slaves to sin, we are slaves of sin. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And instead, we still struggle and we still fight. We have Christian desires, but sinful actions. These are desires that only a true Christian can have in verses 15 and 16. The natural mind cannot be in subjection to God. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man is in rebellion The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There is a change of mind. There is a change of heart going on here. Regeneration is performed by God. Galatians 5:17, for the lust of the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. He says in verse 15, doing what I do not want, desiring what I don't do. We're going to struggle. We're going to fight that all of our lives. Verses 18 and 19 say these same sorts of things. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. And so as we struggle, and as we fight against our sins, we have to confess who is right. That's not me. When I fail, it's God in His condemnation that we agree with God and His law against myself. We read in verse 16, if then I do what I will not, I agree with the law that it is good. The law is right. I'm wrong. Just before our text in verse 12, therefore the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good. And we need to realize that the law is perfect and I am sinful. As we noted previously, 1 Timothy 1 verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. And we continue then. I do not the good I desire to do. He says, if I desire to do the good and I don't do it, then it's sin that dwells within me. Verse 20 says the same thing. Now if I do that which I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. How is this not a contradiction? As you've heard me say, I've never committed a sin I didn't want to do. Yet I am struggling against sin. As a Christian, that's going to be a part of our lives each and every day, each and every moment of every day. And falling is not my desire, but it's going to be something that happens. And we are called by the grace of God to seek the assistance of other Christians, if necessary, to rely on God's grace and to say, yes, I failed. Lord, forgive me. I confess my sin. But I'm not going to do it again. To stand up again by the grace of God and walk. Not because I'm good, but because of the promise, the certainty, more certain than the ground underneath my feet, that God has forgiven me and given me eternal life. I desire to do good. I desire to do the right. Again, this desire is a desire that an unbeliever cannot have. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Romans 8, 7 and 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We are going to, all of our life long, even as you hear me Sunday by Sunday, even our best works are stained with sin, and even our best works need God's forgiveness. We are totally unable. Yes, natural man is able to perform some good, but it is external good. Whereas a Christian is able by God's grace working in him. We read in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We cannot come to God of ourselves. That requires God's Holy Spirit. John 15:4-5, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That bears a sermon right there. We need to abide in Christ. But we also need to confess that we are totally of ourselves unable, we are totally depraved, and that we are totally reliant upon our Savior. And sin is not excused. We have to understand that. Just because we are Christians, we must realize our depravity. We must confess our sins. And we must be driven again and again to our knees. There's going to be a fight. Sin will not be put to death easily. That's the comparison that the Bible uses again and again, isn't it? I have to kill it. That's not, well, let's get along and go along. It must be murdered. We must put our sin to death. There's going to be a fight. Reading again in Romans 7, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, I do. Verse 17. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And going backwards in verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me. Sin uses the commandments. Now we have to understand that. We have to understand how wicked sin is. But we have to also understand the mercy of God. That without Jesus Christ, we have nothing. But with Jesus Christ, we are freely given all that is necessary for life. And we are delivered then, verse 21 through 25, from captivity to sin in Christ. We're going to have to fight. Get ready for it. Where do we start? Well, I love what we just read in John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me. Where do we start? In the Word of God. We spend our time being marinated in that instead of in the world. Psalm 1:2, but delight, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Having God's word, God's law on our minds instead of the things that we sinfully desire. And we're going to have to fight, and we're going to have to kill it. And our outward man is perishing. 2 Corinthians 4:16, often read at funerals when we think about the physical body, but our outward man is more than just our physical body. That our outward man is perishing, we do not lose heart. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Being renewed by the Word of God, by that Spirit, and putting our hope in Christ alone through His Word. And evil, brothers and sisters, is so easily close at hand. We need to be prepared for it. We need tactics. You think they went into World War I and they just sat around and looked at each other and said, hey, okay, I got a battle going on? Of course not. Do you ever go into a battle without some sort of plan? Of course, they always say that as soon as you get into the battle, the plan goes out the window, but that's not necessarily exactly true, is it? We, brothers and sisters, need to plan. We need to prepare. So often we say, well, I repented of my sin. That's the end of anything I need to do with that sin. No, if it's a sin that attacks us regularly, brothers and sisters, maybe we need some help from an elder or from a pastor to talk through and say, how do we get away with this? How do we get away from that? Maybe our fellow Christians confess your sins one to another. That's the context there, by the way, in James. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sadly, that has become the unforgivable sin, is to confess that I'm not perfect. But brothers and sisters, the church is not a group of perfect people. The church is a group of sinners saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we do not lose heart. Our hope is in Christ. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Peter wouldn't have to write this to Christians if we didn't have to fight against sin. Again, Paul writes, Galatians 5:13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Again, another way in which we can fight sin is look outward. So often we as human beings spend our time looking at ourselves. This is exemplified by so much that our culture. You go into a bookstore, what do you see nowadays? Oh wait, most people don't go in a bookstore anymore. Self-help books. What can I do about me? My brothers and sisters, sometimes the best thing I can do about me is look at someone else who has a need, who has a problem, and serve them. Deliverance is in Christ. Oh, wretched man that I am. Hear the scream there from Paul, the cry of pain. And cry with him. Because brothers and sisters, we all are wretched. Who will deliver me from this body of death? If our hearts truly weep because of our sins, who will deliver me? And the answer is right there. I thank God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. As we scream and throw up our hands and say, "I can't do it," the Lord is our answer, our Savior. Going back a couple of chapters, Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We are not slaves, even when we throw up our hands and we say, "I can't do it." We can. God working in us. And so we do not need to despair. Even as Paul comes to that point and lays this out before us, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ has overcome. And as we struggle, as we fight with sin, and we are going to all of our life long, and perhaps that might be a depressing point of perspective too, guess what? The victory's won. Even as we struggle, even as we fight. 1 Corinthians 15:57, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so, brothers and sisters, as we struggle, as we fight, and as we consider that we got to get down in the trenches with sin and do hand-to-hand combat, because it's going to be that way. Brothers and sisters, the victory is won. We are not slaves to sin. And so, yes, even as we fight, even as we spend our lives struggling, by the grace of God, the victory has been won. We are no longer slaves. And even though that sin doesn't die easily, that old man doesn't die quickly, we know the end of the battle. The victory is won. Praise our Savior. Amen. Let us bow before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, even as we struggle against sin, and even as at times we are to the point of despair, yet we thank You that You have delivered us from this body of death. And so while we struggle, the victory is won. And we thank You, Lord, that we may struggle from that perspective, as those who know that there is a won battle. Not as those who wonder, well, is this really worth it? We thank You that the trials of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is ours in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would give us grace as we struggle against sin, as we live within this world, that our hope is in Jesus Christ alone. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us grace in fighting against sin. And that as we join the battle, we would truly spend our time in your word. And as we walk within this world, among the sin, that our eyes would not be on ourselves and the things of this world, but on that which is purchased for us and given to us in eternal life in Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, in thanksgiving and in praise and in honor to our Savior for what He has given to us, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.